Would you stand for worship, please? Yes. Father, we thank you for the joy of the Lord this morning. We thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength this morning. Father, we thank you that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you, God, that you are on our side. And if God be for us, then what? Who can be against us? Lord, we thank you for blessing this service. We thank you for blessing our people, because that is the kind of God that you are. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the worship going forward and healing us from top of our head to the sole of our feet right now. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody say, amen.
Hallelujah. Good morning, Stones. You ready to praise God?
Yeah.
Come on, let's do it. Let's go. Yeah. Come on, you ready to praise God? Give it up.
All things are working for my good. Yeah, he's intentional. Never fail. Yes, he's intentional, never failing. All things
are working for my good.
Yeah. He's intentional.
It's working for me.
It's working for me.
Giving at Stones Church is easy. You can place your giving envelope in a drop box in either the Kalamazoo or Grand Rapids Kentwood campuses. You can mail in your tithe, offering, or gift to Stones Church Finance Department, 21225 West Patterson Street, Kalamazoo, Michigan, 49007. You can download the Push Pay app for Androids in the Google Play Store and for iOS devices in the iTunes App Store. Or you can simply text Stones Church to 77977 to register and follow the prompts. You can go to stoneschurch.com and click on the Give button at the top of your screen and follow the prompts. Download the Stones Church app and click on the Give button in the bottom right-hand corner and follow the prompts.
Lord, turn our hearts to you. Change our hearts, oh God. Lord, get us ready for what you have ready for us. We want to be prepared for your glory, for you to pour out your glory upon us. We want to live in the glory realm, but we want to live in that place, in that special place, Lord, where you are manifest. We want an encounter with the raw presence of God. We want an encounter with you. Lord, move by your spirit, Lord. Move by your spirit, Lord. We celebrate you and we worship you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, y'all, there's a breaking coming. Yes. Something's about to break loose. Yes. It's right there. Yes. It's a thin place. We're in a thin place. We just keep picking at it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord showed me people sitting in the presence and dementia just lifting off of them. People getting their relatives back. Glory be to God. Getting their minds back. Thank you, Lord. I'm believing for that. Lord, pour your glory out. Lord, pour your glory out on us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, there's none like you. There's none like you in all the earth. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we receive the word being blessed today, and we thank you for it. And we praise you for it, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's none like you, Lord Jesus. Father, we receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, Lord, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know, Lord, the hope of your glory, the hope of your calling, Lord, the glory of the riches of your inheritance in the saints and exceeding greatness of your power to those who believe, Lord, power which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead. Set him at your own right hand in heavenly places, Lord, far above all principality, power, rule, might, dominion, and every name that's named, both in this age and in the age to come. Lord, we thank you for the name, Lord. There is no rival. You have no equal. We thank you, Lord, and we celebrate you and we worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jonathan, could you grab me some of those tissues, man? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. A few weeks ago on Easter, we talked about seven things you need to know about the resurrection. Somebody say the resurrection. And one of the things that we discovered was that the resurrection is an eternal truth that took place in an event in time. Amen. The power of the resurrection exists outside of time. It is an eternal truth. God, in creating the earth, considered every possible eventuality, every possible scenario, and provided that his will would be done no matter what happened. Are you listening to me? And so I just want you to get a sense today of the kind of love that God has for you. A couple weeks ago, I started talking about covenant and covenant as the context for Christianity. Amen. Can we give the Lord a real big shout for Pastor Diana last week? Wasn't that amazing? Wasn't that good? She brought a powerful, powerful word. Amen. And I want to thank her for that. She may have cut out already, but I just want to thank Diana for that word. I knew she was going to bring it. Amen. And so today I want to kind of double back on what I talked about. I don't want to get into a whole lot of review, but I do think there are some things that God wants us to be aware of. Somebody say to be aware of. One of the things that we've been talking about this year is surrender, sacrifice, stretching, and serving. And I talked some about surrendering our hearts to God. Amen. I want to talk a little bit about sacrifice, but I don't want sacrifice to be in the context of religious sacrifice, of just suffering for the sake of suffering. Are you here? There is a sacrifice in being obedient to God, and that's where we want to be sacrifice-minded. In other words, whatever he says, do it. No matter what the cost is, I need to do what he says, amen? And everything that is good costs. Everything that's positive, everything that actually helps people cost. Amen. That's why they don't pay teachers $20 million a year. Because in order to make $20 million a year, you have to draw money. And money doesn't flow necessarily where money is needed. Money flows after people's desires. Are you here? And because we want to see basketball, we pay them an enormous amount of money. And I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just the nature of things. If you're going to help people, it's going to cost you. There's going to be a sacrifice involved. Amen? And so I want to talk about that in just for a short time here. I hope I didn't just lie. And it's not good to start off a message just lying, just break out lying, right? But I want you to understand covenant. Somebody say covenant. In John 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." I want this to become a cultural norm in our church, to where when you hear that, you automatically hear covenant. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. What does giving your son do have to do with you loving the world? He allowed his son to enter into and execute a blood covenant. Somebody say a blood covenant. A blood covenant. Why? Because covenant, entering into covenant with someone, is the highest form of love you can have. It's the highest form of commitment you can have. Is this making sense? I want you to imagine a young couple sitting at the dinner table, and the guy looks deep into her eyes, the girl's eyes, and says what she's been waiting to hear, one of the things she's been waiting to hear. So, "I love you." And it just washes all over, and it's amazing. And she says to him, "That's great. I've been waiting for you to say that. What does that mean? How does that change things?" What's our context? I told you about the young brother who called me, and he had been living with a girl, and they had a kid together. Yeah, he goes to church here, living with somebody. And we got everybody in the house, right? And so he called me up. And he said, "Pastor, what can I do? She left, and I don't know what to do. I'm messed up." He said, I don't want to start dating somebody else. You know, I don't want to lose my family. And I said, well, you know what you did wrong, right? He said, what did I do wrong? He said, I was loving, I was providing for her. I said, you didn't give her a context for the relationship. There ain't no rules for girlfriend. There's no rules for boyfriend. What are the rules for living together? Are y'all here? I said, so you didn't give her a context. I said, you gotta take low. I said, you got any James Brown? You got any, I said, you need to get a boombox on your shoulder and go stand outside her window and start begging. Are y'all here? Please, 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 please. I know you want to leave me, but I refuse. Uh-oh, y'all know this song, huh? If I have to beg, plead for your sympathy, I don't mind, cause you mean that much to me. Too proud to beg. Please don't. Right? I said, man, you gotta find some R&B. Don't mess with no rap. I said, that's what's wrong with you now. Are y'all here? I said, you need to go get outside her window, throw some pebbles at her window, just get her attention, play the boombox, be ready to go to jail to get your family back. Are you here? Somebody say covenant. God so loved the world that he entered into covenant with man. That is crazy. Why would God, who doesn't need anything from anybody ever, why would he submit himself? In Psalms 138 verse 2, it says that he has exalted his word even higher than his name. Why would God take his being and submit it to man? He had to give us a choice, because without a choice, there's no love. Amen. I know some of y'all are controlling people and you don't give people choices, but what you guarantee is that you'll never be loved. Why? Because you are y'all here? It's hard to love somebody you need because you're trying to control them. Is this making sense? So God gives us a choice so that we can choose to love him. I love the way they do some movies and things. What was that movie with was it Bruce Almighty? And he had messed up with the girl and he was trying to make the girl love him. And he went to God and said, God, I can't make her love me. And God said, exactly. That's my problem. And I thought that was a genius move. And to have that in a movie, amen, because we preach hours and hours and never really get that point across, that you can't make anybody love you. If you make them, it's not love. I know what Diana Ross said. I'm gonna, ooh, yes I'm. No, Diana, that's not love. You can't make nobody love you. Amen? It's amazing how much witchcraft is in songs. Every step you take, every breath you take, every step you take. Aretha was the best. She was in a chain of fools. She said, I'm one of many fools. I'm going to knock on your door, rap on your window pane. Hey, if I don't answer the door, head on home. Don't be messing with my window. That means I don't want to answer the door if I'm there. Why you just want to overcome my will? Why? The fact that I don't want to talk to you doesn't mean anything. You all in the back door and in the windows and stuff. I got another secular song we're going to redeem in next week. Is that all right? So y'all be ready. So they're going to talk about your pastor. Somebody say context. The context of something helps you understand it. To take something out of context is to take it wrong. Is the misunderstanding, amen. I mentioned a few stories last week. I mentioned the fact that somebody had accused me during my single days of riding around with a couple of really fine women in my car and going to the barbecue place with these women. And I said, yeah, the context is that they were my daughters. They're named Victoria and Veronica. And they're growing up into young women. And when I take them out, I'm out with two young women who happen to be my daughters. I'm not no player. Are you here? We talked about the girl who goes to the airport and buys cookies. And she set her bag of cookies down next to her and began to eat them. Then the guy sitting across from her reached his hand in and got a cookie. And she looked at him like, you know, I'm not going to have to go off up in the airport. You know, so she reached in, grabbed another one, shook the bag a little bit. He reached in and grabbed the bag, got another one. And there's only one left. So she looks at him like, I know you're not going to take the last cookie. But he did. And broke it and gave her half. So she said, I can't believe it. Grabbed her stuff, went to her gate, went to pull out her boarding pass, and there were her cookies in her bag. All this time, they were eating his cookies. How many of you realize that changes the perspective? Amen. There's a lot of times you try to make decisions with information that you need that you don't have. That's why the Bible says not to judge people, because you don't know what went into their condition. I've sat around a fireplace with kids who have gone out to steal because both of their parents are drug addicts. And feeding their brothers and sisters was up to them, but they weren't old enough to get a job. They had to go out and steal. Now, if you're in the store, if you own the store and this kid is stealing from you, you're like, man, put him under the jail. But you don't understand the perspective. And I didn't say it was right. I just say when you get the more information, you get it. Is this making sense? Context, a situation within which something exists or happens, and that can explain it. Synonyms are circumstances, times, conditions, situation. My favorite is setting. Somebody say setting. It changes perspective. This guy, he worked construction for this guy who owned a construction company, and this guy kind of underpaid his people. He wasn't a real generous boss, but this guy worked for him. It was a stable life. They had lots of work, and so he stayed and worked for him. And he worked for him for 30, 40 years. And then the guy was going to retire and sell the company. But he didn't know what kind of condition he was going to sell it into. And so he told the guy, he says, look, I want you to build one last house for me. And I want you to put, this is my last project. This is my flagship project. I want to put everything, the best of everything, and it's the best doors, wood, everything, the best piping, the best accessories, put just lay this place out. I want you to build a trophy house for me, amen? And this guy said, man, I've worked for this guy all my life, and he's always underpaid me. I'm going to get him now. And so he built the house, and he cut corners, and he cut corners, and he cut corners, and he was saying to himself, this thing ain't going to last more than 5 or 6 years. That's what he gets for treating me like that. And so when he got done, he went to hand the guy the keys, and the guy said, no, this is your house. Say, you've worked for me all these years, man, and you've served me, and you've profited me, and I've done really well because of your faithfulness, and so I wanted to reward you with a house of your own. Are we here?
Context.
Somebody say context. Somebody said, if I'd known. Can I just talk to y'all a few minutes and then send you home, get some good food? You're always building your own house. It's always your house that you're building. Somebody say the kingdom. God has commanded us to walk in love. He's given us love as a commandment. You know why God commanded us to love? Because he loves us. And he didn't give us an option. We have the power to disobey, but we don't have the right to. because we're in covenant with God. How did I get saved? By confessing that Jesus is Lord. And when he's my Lord, remember our seven questions? One of the questions is, who do you belong to? And when you don't know who you belong to, you live with the illusion of options. I mean, if you could imagine a five-year-old kid and his mom tells him, okay, son, it's 8 o'clock, it's time to go to bed. And the kid says, bed at 8 o'clock. That's an interesting proposal, Mom. Especially seeing as how I'm not done watching TV yet. And depending on the nationality of the house that he's in. See, we're a cross-cultural church, so we have to take it from all angles. But a crime is getting ready to be committed. Somebody getting ready to risk doing some time. I'm glad, Mother, you informed me of your will. But my will is that my program is not off until 11. And that's when I'll be going to bed. Thank you. And since you're up, could you grab me a couple cookies? That's the way some of us treat God, as if what he says is optional. I had a lady in my office, we were talking about tithing, and I said, you know, it's God made it easy. He said, tithe or be cursed. And she said, well, I don't have a revelation of that. I said, do you want to wait and get one? I'd rather find out about curse by reading about it. Some things I don't want to experience. Amen. One guy told me, he said, Pastor, I need to make my own mistakes. I said, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. If you walk out too fast and slip down on the ice, I'm going to benefit from that. I'm going to walk more careful. I don't need to walk out there all crazy and say, I need to have my own experiences. No, I can do without some experiences. Sometimes on the highway, I'm driving a little too fast, and the police will have somebody pulled over. And I say, Father, I thank you for that sacrificial lamb. I thank you for that lamb that flushed the police out that were waiting on me. You went ahead. You were my forerunner. May God bless you in all your other endeavors today. Thank you for the price you paid. Are y'all listening? Covenant is the highest expression of love. That's slide two, you guys. Covenant is the highest expression of love. To commit to somebody. To be all in. Somebody say all in. Through covenant, the promises of God are already yes and amen to me. Through covenant, I am irresistible to him. He has forgiven my sin. He's taken my sin away. I am sinless. Well, Pastor, but we know you miss it. Yeah, he says if I do and confess it, he forgives me. He'll forgive me. He's faithful and just. That's still amazing to me. How is it just that God forgive me? How would it be unjust for God to not forgive me? Because he's already accepted Jesus' sacrifice for sin, and I'm in Christ. So to reject me would be to undo his decision to accept Christ's sacrifice for sin. Somebody say just. Because rarely do you hear me talk about justice. I don't want justice. I want grace. I want mercy. I don't want what I deserve. Amen? Somebody say covenant is the highest expression of love. If I love you, I live in covenant with you. Okay? And I'm not in a marriage covenant with but one person. But I try to live my life based on covenant. In other words, at the very least, I try not to harm people. I don't like everybody. I don't like every church. I don't like every preacher. I don't think all preachers preach good word. But my job is to not hurt them. Because if God loves them, I don't want to become an enemy to somebody God loves. See, the fear of the Lord, that's why I don't get mad at Israel. I don't like everything Israel does, but I will never become an enemy to Israel because God said their enemies were his enemies. And I can't take a chance on that. I don't ever want to be, I'm like David, man. If God ever liked you, I like you, even if he doesn't like you anymore. Even if his hand is off you, I don't want to mess with you. If you ever once walked in the favor of God, I want to leave you alone. Why? Because I don't need no trouble in my life. Life is hard enough without you making it hard. Is this making sense? So love, therefore, next slide, is the ecosystem of the kingdom. It is the environment that allows us to have community. Wouldn't it be great if the people in the pharmaceuticals wouldn't do anything that would hurt us? If the people in the food industry wouldn't do anything that would harm us? They would live by a covenant. They would live by love, the law of love, and not do anything that would hurt us. Are you listening to me? What would the world be like if the politicians actually served us and did things that were good for us? Why is there food allowed in the United States that you can't find in other countries? Why are there chemicals in our food that are not allowed in other places? Why don't our people take care of us? Is this making sense? See, and this is what you're called to do. You are called to change things. You are called to change systems. You're called to make sure that life works for people, that community works. Are you here? Amen. Obedience to the love commandment is evidence of loving God. Okay, if you love me, keep my commandments, he said, right? Okay, and so he locked us in. You are in a covenant. You don't have the option to disobey. Okay, the way you got saved was to be entering the covenant. Love is unconditional. Somebody say love is unconditional. But covenant isn't. Okay, I have to keep covenant. I have to minister to the covenant. I have to keep the covenant alive. And so God loves me no matter what. I can't make him love me anymore. I can't make him love me any less. But I can walk in covenant with him. I can worship him. I can submit to him and allow him to make the difference in my life. Somebody say the difference. Let's make a couple of points, and then I'm going to get back to the fact that you only build your own house. Okay. Slide 5, loving God engages his sovereign ability to make everything work for your good. Okay, when I'm loving God, when I'm obeying him, it engages what people call the universe. How many of you ever heard that term, the universe? Now, I don't like the universe when it replaces God. But I love the universe when it's talking about God's omnipotence and his omnipresence and how he can make everything work for my good. And that's a benefit to those who love God. That's why forgiveness and all those things are such a high priority, or should be such a high priority with us, because I don't want the universe to turn against me. Are you getting this? Somebody say, loving God. All things, Romans 8:28 says it this way, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he justified. He called, rather. And those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. So there's a pattern, being in his will, being called, being justified, being glorified. In other words, God is going to end everything that has to do with me in glory. He's going to end it in victory if I'm in his will, if I'm doing things according to his purpose. That's why I don't seek perfection, I just seek purpose. I'll never be perfect, God, but what are you doing? I can align myself with you and do what you've called me to do and walk in my destiny. You have been predestined to be like Jesus. You have been predestined to become like Jesus. And God can take everything, your mistakes, your bad decisions, your enemies, the persecution you've been through, everything. He can take everything you've been through and make it work to the end that you become like Jesus. Now, who is Jesus? Somebody who lived unlimited, with unlimited access to the Father. Somebody who could not be controlled by his flesh, the devil, or the world. Nothing could get Jesus off track. And that's the kind of person he's turning you into. Is this making sense? He said in John 14, 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Why? Because love involves sacrifice, and sacrifice draws God to you. In other words, and I think this is the next slide, when I love God, I become a God magnet. God is a person. He can be attracted. He can be repelled. He can be pleased. He can be disappointed. I want to be the kind of person that draws him. I want to be the kind of person that God is attracted to. And when I put myself last and I forgive people, I love people, I serve people, when I'm doing this, God is attracted to me. He's drawn to me. Is this making sense? I smell good to him. Sacrifice produces a fragrance. When you live a sacrificial life, you smell good in the spirit. That's how demons are attracted to selfish people. Because flies are drawn to stuff that stank. And I asked God one time, God, what are flies for? Everything has a purpose. What is a fly for? He says, flies teach you about demons. Because they're drawn to all the wrong stuff. And you have people, boy, if there's some gossip, you can have a gossiper sitting up there, and you can have a gossiper sitting right here, and the next week they'll be together. They will find each other. Why? Because they're drawn to stuff. Well, God is drawn to people who love. People who are gracious. People who are sensitive to what others are going through. People who are not selfish, who are not childish. Are you listening to me? In Psalms 91, 14, it says it this way. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. The Bible says those who walk in love drive fear is driven out of their lives. Walking in love will get fear out because you know God's going to deliver me. Why? Because I've sown mercy, I'm going to get mercy. The devil corner me, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for the parachute. I'm waiting for the helicopter to come. Why? Because God's going to deliver me out of every time the devil corners me. Why? Because when I have people in my hand, I don't squeeze. I don't make everybody who wrongs me, I don't punish them. Now, I'm tempted to. I'm not there yet where it's automatic. My favorite four words is, that's what you get. So God's delivering me. Are you listening to me? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 12, it says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Somebody say, before the ages. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. God decided before he ever created us, he knew we would fall. He knows everything. And he already decided to come as a man and suffer so that we could be saved. Now, it's one thing to stand at the altar, Julie, and marry somebody and say, for better or for worse, and you don't know what the worst is. And that's still quite a commitment, but you don't know where this is going to take us. You don't know what one phone call might represent, one doctor's visit. You don't know when things are going to change suddenly, and you have to deal with something that you weren't prepared to deal with. See, and in this age, people say, well, I ain't signed up for that. In this age, you get sick, you might have to go to your mama's house. You know, I ain't signed up to be pushing you around in no wheelchair. Are you listening to me? But covenant assumes the risk of what could be better or worse. Are you listening to me? Well, God knew the worst and still signed up. That's how bad he wanted you. The Bible says Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. You are the joy that he went to the cross for. The only time Jesus ever got a no, it was about you. Let this cup pass from me. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. God is holy. His redemption had to be legal. He had to legally save us. He couldn't just wave a magic wand and we'd be saved. It cost death to a sinless man. And the resurrection was proof that that cost was paid, that we might live in resurrection life. God has paid such a price for you to live confidently, for you to live without evil conscience, for you to feel good about yourself. How much more value could you have than the God of the universe give his son for you? What are you waiting on to feel good about who you are? He designed you. He designed you the way he wanted you. If your thighs are too big, he must like. I never liked my thighs. Well, God designed you that way. Amen. Get in shape, and whatever you wind up with, just make it a sacrifice to God and say, God, I just thank you for me. Bishop Garland was in South Africa at an aquarium looking at I think it was a South African rockfish. And he said, that's the ugliest fish I ever seen in my life. And God spoke to him and said, I didn't make it for you. Think about your critics and remind them, God didn't make me for you. Are y'all here? Are you listening? He knew everything and still went to the cross, still created the earth, still set everything in motion, knowing what it would cost him. And he hid it from the devil. The Bible says if the devil had known, he would never have crucified the Lord of glory. When he put that sinless man on the cross, he positioned him to redeem all of mankind. He lost everybody through that one act of putting that sinless man on the cross. But as it is written, verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Those who love him have some prepared for them. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. In other words, you don't know a person's mind unless you're inside of them. You know, I'm sitting here preaching to you guys. You guys are looking at me nodding, but you might be thinking about chicken McNuggets while we're talking. Barbecue sauce. Are you listening to me? I don't know what's in a person's mind. But God, so that we would know his mind, gave us his spirit. So that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God wants you joyful. Happy is the man that finds wisdom. Are you listening to me? God wants you joy that you can't explain. Take you 2-3 hours to tell somebody how you're doing. How you doing, Pastor? When I think about the Lord. Come on, y'all. Are y'all listening to me? That's how good he wants you to have it. I've got four questions I'm going to ask you next week. Four questions. One, what difference has God made in your life? Two, what difference does he want to make? Three, because you have him, what difference are you making in others' lives? And four, what's in the way? But that's next week. Because of the law of sowing and reaping, being a loving, sacrificial person guarantees goodness in your life. Thank you, Lord. Something didn't make it. Go with me to 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 12. You all okay? I'm going to read this fast. I want to get out of here. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him. Now, what David had done, David was out of place. He should have been at war. He stayed home, let everybody else go do the fighting. And he saw a woman showering. He looked out of his window and saw a woman taking a shower, and she was fine. And he looked out and said, glory. Asked his servants, who is that? Said, go get her for me. He's a king. You don't say no to the king. Are you listening? He had sex with her, she got pregnant, and he had her husband killed to cover it up. Somebody says, not to sin, it's to cover up. And so in doing that, and how many of you know he got on the wrong side of God with that? Okay, and so he did this thing, and so the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. Somebody say a pet. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Somebody says, your house. Because you're always the man. Because whatever you do to others in the present, you schedule for yourself in the future. If you don't like the way it tastes, don't serve it. I feel funny if I go to your house and we're eating from different pots. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, God will send people to you that are like you. When he can't speak to you about changing yourself. And it turns out the people you judge, you're really judging yourself. You want to make somebody mad, steal from a thief. Cheat on a cheater. Tell a lie to a liar. Are y'all here? The things that we get the most upset about are the things that we haven't overcome. Are y'all here? That's why the Bible says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. The way to not be judged is to withhold judgment. Why? Because I don't know the whole story. I don't have the right to judge people. I can judge events. I can judge behavior. But I can't judge people. I can't place a value on people. To judge somebody is to either place a value on them or to predict their destiny based on a temporary observation. Who I am today is a picture. It's a photograph. It's not the whole movie. You don't know how I'm going to come out by looking at me today. Is this making sense? Let me find a little sunshine before I cut out. God loves you so much, he's committed himself. He's all in. Somebody say all in. I mean, you know, he deserves us to be all in. Come on, stand up with me. You get anything out of this today? Come on, give the Lord a shout. I freestyled on you a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. That's why Jesus could say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. In other words, they're sowing into their own future. They're sowing into their own children. He told them, don't weep for me, weep for your kids. They're the ones going to reap this. Are you listening to me? Thank you, Lord. So the fear of the Lord is that I respect the kingdom and I don't want to do anything that would cause him to disengage or that would schedule something in my future that I don't want. Are you listening to me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here with us, maybe you're online and you've heard this word and Jesus is not your Lord, you've not received his covenant, we want to give you an opportunity to do so. I'm going to pray with you. And very simply, just like getting married, just like saying, I do, you receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Amen. Just repeat after me. Father, I thank you for this covenant that you offer, for going to the cross for me, bearing my sin so that I could bear your righteousness. I accept you as my Lord and now my Savior. And I believe in the resurrection. I believe you broke the power of death and all its consequences over me. In Jesus' name, fill me with your spirit. Show me your ways. Baptize me in your love. Change my heart. Make me like you so that I can walk with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.